As Rachel said, the first reading is from Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 18, and reading verses 2 to 6. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." The second reading is one verse from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. God's masterpiece is the topic today. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "We are God's masterpiece." What's a masterpiece? A work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. A wonder, sensation, something outstanding, a prize, a gem. That's us. We're God's masterpiece. Do you believe that this morning? In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image." So we're all created in God's own image. A masterpiece is not mass-produced. We're all unique, custom-made by God. You are definitely not ordinary. Anyone believe that? God looks at you and says, "That's my son. That's my daughter." And he's proud of you. Do you see yourself as a masterpiece? I've just got a story I'd like Rachel to read. And then we'll continue. I don't know if anyone's read the book or seen the book. You are special.
Okay, this is a book, You Are Special, by one of my favourite authors, Max Licardo. The Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by the woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver and all lived in the village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of grey dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their day sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with fine wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. When he tried to explain why he had fallen, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks gave him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something silly, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then the people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many grey dots that some people came up and gave him dots for no reason at all. He deserves lots of dots, the wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. A few times he went outside, he hung around the other Wemmicks, but also had a lot of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It was just that stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Others looked down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but that wouldn't stick either. That's the way I want it to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia said, replied. Every day I go to see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill, he's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will you want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. So he decided to go and see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The store was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here, he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. Punchinello? The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and sat him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the grey dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried really hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are very special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I have been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know, she told me about you. Why don't the stickers stick on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about the stickers. Not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come and see me every day. And let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out of the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
That's the end of the sermon. Thank you. Punchinello. Do you feel like a Punchinello? Didn't feel like a good person. Listen to everyone else and all the bad things they say about you. Feel like you've got more dots than stars. You've made more mistakes. You've got scars from going through life. But we're God's children and our scars can heal and our spots can be taken away. It's spoken there about going and sitting with Eli, who's the picture of God, the Father, the Maker, spending time with him. He's interested in you. Because you, it says in there, a really pivotal bit, because you are mine, he says. God says that to you this morning. Because you are mine, I love you. You matter. Trust in my love, and any stickers won't stick on you anymore. Visit me daily was another one in there, really precious. I made you. I don't make mistakes. Let that really sink in. Do you like who you are, who God's created you? Are you happy in your skin? Maybe you think you could be a little taller, have more hair. I'm not looking at anyone. Better personality. What do you see when you look in the mirror in the morning? Can you look in the mirror? Be confident in who God has made you. In Psalm 139, it says, For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He's created us. You're unique. Each of us are unique. No one else in the world has your fingerprints. Did you know that? There will never be another you in this world. God breathed life into you, and he is proud of his creation. In our clothes, we have a tag saying made in China or Indonesia or wherever. As Christians, well, as everyone, we have a tag saying made by God. We're all created by him. After creating us, he sat back, it says in creation, and he said, that was good, that is good. And he took great pleasure from creating. You are extremely valuable, not average. We often like to highlight our own flaws and focus on them, but we need to remind ourselves of the painter, the creator of us. Think about this, a painting gets its value from its creator. So it could be the ugliest painting, but it might be a Picasso or a Banksy and it has huge value. So our value is from God, our Creator, and He values us. Our value doesn't come from what we look like or what we know. We are His masterpiece. Accept yourself this morning. The world says, know who you are. But we also need to grasp whose we are. So not just who we are, whose we are. And we're made by God and He loves us. Have a recording playing in your head saying, I am valuable. I am loved. I am created by the Almighty God. There's a lot of people in the world who are ready to put you down, but God is there to tell you the real truth, that you're loved. There was a story of a poor man who lived in terrible conditions, hardly any money, couldn't hardly eat, had very bad health. Eventually, this man died. After dying, they cleared his living area, gave all it to a charity shop, and they discovered a painting, quite an average looking painting, which he had, but it was worth over $150,000. So this man lived in poverty, but didn't know what he had was valuable. I think we're like that as Christians sometimes. We live in poverty without knowing, really knowing how much God loves us and wants to work through us. That's a challenge to you and me. We are all full of potential. But we can all miss that potential if we don't spend time with God and willing to help Him to mould us and change us. Each morning, wake up and praise God. The painter, the creator. Understand who you are and start the day like that in the morning. We need to love and accept ourselves so then we can love others. I believe we need to be able to love ourselves before we can give that love to others. What's going on inside is going to show on the outside. Romans 8 verse 11. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. What power that is. It's amazing. Every single one of us matter to God. And there's two main roles, to love God and to love others and make Him known. Some of us, I believe, have an orphan spirit. We feel a bit detached from God. And we need to come back into Him, His family, and to be known and loved. Understand who you are and understand whose you are. God's precious creation. We have made mistakes, all of us have, and we still do. But our value is not based on performance. It's based on grace of God that we've been saved and He loves us. And He sent Jesus to the cross to bring us back to Him. Not by works, not by anything we can do, but we can't boast. It says in Ephesians, it's by the grace of God, which is a gift that He freely gives. Just lost myself. One second. Just think about that for a moment. I would like a willing volunteer, please, David.
Happy to volunteer.
This is David. Wonderful guy.
Hi, David.
Okay. Okay. God created David and He breathed His life into him when he was born. And David knows Jesus personally as Saviour.
I do.
And the Holy Spirit is fully in David and around him and working within him. God looks at David and he says, that's good.
Louise is not so sure.
But there's still work to be done. Do we agree, Louise? So God says, I want to take, this is for all of us, this is not, David's my example. So anything I'm going to use here may not apply to David. So that's the disclaimer.
Yeah.
God says, I want to take everything in your life, even your mobile,
yeah,
that does not belong there and remove it, anything that's dead weight. So God's the creator. And ultimately, he wants you to make you more like Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, he will highlight things you need to work on. There's no standing still as being a Christian. Do you know that? You're either moving forwards or you're going backwards. Just think about that for a minute.
Well, there's a little bit of dead weight there, you
know. Right, so... I don't create junk, you're a masterpiece. But I've got some things to work on. So, some okay. Tools.
Oh dear.
So, let's see what needs work on then. A little bit off here, maybe? Stop breathing in. A little bit off the bat. We're not finished with. God never finishes with us. He's got work to do. Different things we pick up through life. Hurt. We may pick up hurt. And I can see a little lump here on the back here, which looks like it needs to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
It may hurt a little, but it's going to be worth it in the long run. Unforgiveness in our lives is something that we can hold on to, and it grows and becomes a part of us. And with God's help through the Holy Spirit, he can help take it off, which is really important. And once that's off, your David will then feel freer and his back will feel good. There's a few lines on the forehead here. I need to smooth them out a little bit. Guilt. Guilt we hold on to. Maybe in the past we've done something wrong and we need to release it. God wants to deal with that. And he will. And he loves you. And no matter what you've done, he loves you. And he's willing to forgive. Eyes. Pretty good glasses, but I've got a better pair of specs for you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
This is a pair of 3D glasses. I want you to see three-dimensional. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And through these, life will seem much richer, and your potential will be known. So keep going on. You get your glasses back, don't worry. Right. Ears. Ears can get blocked. Are your ears blocked from God, from hearing things? My ears were blocked recently, and what I had to use first to soften it was some olive oil drops.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens is, I'm not going to do it, am I? The olive oil drops go in to help soften. So the Holy Spirit can come into your life and help you soften areas for God to remove. Sometimes it's very painful to remove something, but the Holy Spirit will help you. So we've put these in. Still a bit of work to do. Done. Maybe a toothbrush. No, it's not working. I'm going to go scale up a bit here.
Oh, wow.
I can get it, but it's not quite getting all the thing. Nathan, can you help me? There's a bag over here. The ultimate ear cleaning kit. Goes in on one side and hopefully doesn't go to the other. Thank you. But joking aside, our eye is blocked from God. Are we hearing him clearly every day? Or are we blocking ourselves off from him? Maybe stuff's built up in there, like my ear. And what we needed to do is to start with this. Then he sprayed water in my ear and he had to turn up the pressure to get it off. And God sometimes needs to turn up our pressure to get our attention. And then he loosened it, and then he got the earwax and dead skin out of my ear. And before, my head was in pain. Afterwards, it was clear. So it's a really good lesson of having your... Are your ears clean? If not, you can see me afterwards. Back. There needs a bit of work doing on this back. He's a little bit hunched, isn't he?
Oh.
Need to straighten this out a little bit. There we go. Shoulders back, upright.
Stomach in.
Do you have low self-esteem? Do you walk around with your eyes on the ground? Or do you walk with your shoulders back and just feel, know who you are in God, and have confidence. No matter what comes our way, he's with us and he can help us. So just sit where you are, put your shoulders back for a minute and say to yourself, I'm created by God. He helps us with low self-esteem. Right. What else do I have here? Some soap and some hand cleaner. Sometimes we need to, well, often we need to wash our hands. Can I put some hand? It's good to cleanse our hands, because we all do things wrong. So it's good to come to God and to regularly wash your hands and clear yourself of anything you've done wrong and say to God, please forgive me. We're all human, we all make mistakes and we all will continue. But God wants us to come, just like in the story where Eli said to Punchinello, come to me, come and spend time with me daily, and then I'll cleanse you. Feet get cracks. We've got some cracked heel repair cream. I get my words here. Are your feet cracked where you've been walking? Do you feel like you've been walking too long? Do you need your feet soothing and repaired? Are you walking in the right place where God's asked you to walk? This will help sort your feet out, and God will help direct you if you spend time with him. Moisturizer. There's a little bit of stubborn skin around here that needs moisturising so it can heal. Do you have any stubborn skin in your life where you're saying, yeah, you can come this far, God, but you're not coming any closer? Or, I'm not going to go and do that when he speaks to you in that soft, quiet voice. Are you stubborn? Do you need moisturising by God and the Holy Spirit? Hugo Boss. Fragrance of God. So with David here, I love to spray my fragrance, says God, over him. So he can take, if I spray this on David, wherever he goes, that fragrance will go. So ask God in the morning for his fragrance to cover you, and it will go with you. When I visit the care home I always pray in the car that God will give me, cover me in his fragrance, that when I go in, it will just spill out onto people as I meet. So God says to you, you have a fragrance which you can take wherever you go. That's really powerful. So what's the message here? We're God's masterpiece. He created us, he knows us, he loves us. We're not finished with yet, because it says in the Bible that we're not finished yet, and he'll continue, finish the work that he started in us. So it's a really important lesson to know that you're loved, and he made you, and he wants the best for you. But we're not perfect. We need some work done, and it's good to go and visit the master and have that work done. Thank you, Nick. So I've got a prayer I'd like to read, and then if anything's spoken to you this morning, we're a church about being real and about helping each other. We're a family. So if there's something that's spoken to you this morning specifically, come and ask one of the elders to be prayed with, and then we'll pray with you this morning. It's time to do business with God today. Don't leave the building and then think, oh, okay, that was good, but I'll deal with it later. Today is the day. We don't know how many days we have, so today is the day for putting something right. And also moving forwards. If you don't think you're moving forwards, we can help you with that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, whatever it takes to mould me into the image of your Son, Jesus, help me this morning. Highlight any areas that I need to work on. I need help. And help me to be able to speak up and to know the life that we can have in you. Make me your masterpiece, and may this year be a year of breakthrough and new life. Amen.